Chapter 25. Examinations were deemed unnecessary, and confessions became flat and unprofitable, and this strange episode in American history ended. That there had been cause for alarm, there can be no doubt. That threats should be uttered by the slaves is natural, for this would be in keeping with their whole history in this country. Nor is it at all improbable that a conspiracy was formed. For this, too, would only be in harmony with the conduct of slaves from time immemorial. The utter folly and hopelessness of such a one as the blacks testified to has been urged against its existence altogether. If the argument is good for anything, it proves that the conspiracy 30 years before never existed, and that the Southampton massacre was a delusion, and John Brown never hatched his utterly insane conspiracy in Harper's Ferry. There have been a good many servile insurrections plotted in this country, not one of which was a whit more sensible or easier of execution than this, which was said to look to the complete overthrow of the little city. That the fires which first started the panic were the work of Negro incendiaries, there is but little doubt, but how far they were a part of a wide-laid plan, it is impossible to determine. Unquestionably, success at the outset would have made the movement general, so that nothing but military force could have arrested it. There is one thing, however, about which there is no doubt, that a panic seized the people and the courts, and made them as unreliable as in the days of the Salem witchcraft. But these striking exhibitions of the weakness of human nature under certain circumstances have been witnessed since the world was made, and probably will continue to the end of time, or until the race enters on a new phase of existence. Panics, even among the most veteran soldiers, sometimes occur, and hence we cannot wonder they take place amid a mixed population. Popular excitements are never characterized by reason and common sense, and never will be. In this case, there was more reason for a panic than at first sight seems to be. In the first place, the proportion of slaves to the whites was large. In the second place, they were a turbulent set, and had shown such a dangerous spirit that the authorities became afraid to let them assemble together in meetings. This restriction they felt sorely, and it made them more restive. All were aware of this hostile state of feeling, and were constantly anticipating some outbreak or act of violence. Besides, it was but a few years since the thing they now feared did actually take place. And then too, the point first aimed at was significant, and showed a boldness founded on conscious strength. Right inside the fort itself, and to the governor's house, the torch was applied. It certainly looked ominous. Besides, the very wholesale manner in which the authorities thought it best to go to work increased the panic. In a very short time, over 100 persons were thrown into prison. The same proportion to the population today would be over 10,000. Such a wholesale arrest would, of itself, throw New York into the wildest excitement, and conjure up all sorts of horrible shapes. Add to this, an average of 200 burned at the stake, and 200 hung every week, or more than 50 a day, and nearly three times that number sentenced to transportation, and one can faintly imagine what a frightful state of things would exist in the city. The very atmosphere grew stifling from the smoke of burning men and women, while the gallows groaned under its weight of humanity. Had this been the wild work of a mob, it would have been terrible enough, but when it was the result of a deliberate judicial tribunal, which was supposed to do nothing except on the most conclusive evidence, the sense of danger was increased tenfold. The conclusion was inevitable, that the conspiracy embraced every black man in the city, and was thoroughly organized. In short, the whole place was, beyond doubt, resting over a concealed volcano, and the instinct of self-preservation demanded the most summary work. Let the inhabitants of any city become thoroughly possessed of such an idea, and they will act with no more prudence or reason than the people of New York at that time did. An undoubted belief in such a state of things will confuse the perceptions, and unbalance the judgment of a community anywhere and everywhere on the globe. Still, consistent as it is with human history, one can hardly believe it possible, as he stands in New York today, that men have there been burned at the stake under the sanction of English law, or left to swing and rot in the winds of heaven, by order of the Supreme Court of the city. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.